The unemployment situation in Europe is still getting worse.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. And we'll start with this figure, 12%. That was the unemployment rate in the 17 countries that used the euro currency in January and in February, and it's a new high. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us live from our European desk in London with more. Good morning.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, so why is Europe still moving in the wrong direction? Because, of course, here in the U.S., the unemployment rate's going down.
Right. Well, the eurozone as a whole is in recession. The 17 countries that use the euro have been dragged down as a bloc by the debt problems of some of their member countries. Italy, Spain, Greece, Portugal, Ireland, France is struggling too. All these countries are each other's main trading partners, and therefore they're dragging each other down and increasing the unemployment level for the bloc as a whole.
And we know that the unemployment rate in Spain and Greece, I think, is topping 26% still. Yeah. Are there countries, though, that are doing better, and what are they doing right?
Yes, they are the usual suspects. This is the north-south divide. Austria has the lowest unemployment rate, 4.8%. Germany is next with 5.4%. These are countries without a massive debt problem. They contrast very starkly, as you say, with Greece and Spain, both with over 26% unemployment. Raul Ruparal of the Open Europe think tank says these are the countries with the biggest problems with public debt, the biggest public sectors, and therefore they are the biggest casualties of austerity.
If you look at Greece and Spain, where they're cutting spending drastically and the state accounts for maybe 50% of the economy, this is bound to have an effect, and there's bound to be an increase in unemployment as public sector lays off workers.
Now, he says unemployment is a lagging indicator. It's a rear-view mirror. But he says the trouble is the road ahead doesn't look very promising either for the eurozone, with trouble now flaring in small member states like Cyprus.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Well, after the Newtown, Connecticut school shootings last December, the National Rifle Association said there should be armed guards in every school in the country. Well, today the NRA is releasing details on how to put that plan in place. Shannon Mullen reports it would be costly for taxpayers.
For the most part, the dollar figure depends on whether school guards are sworn law enforcement officers. Francisco Negron is general counsel with the National School Boards Association.
It's not just simply about being able to defend, but it's about being able to address and respond quickly in the whole security scenario that law enforcement officers are trained to do.
Depending on the district, one officer could cost $50,000 to $80,000, according to the National Association of School Resource Officers. And there are about 100,000 public schools in the country, putting the total in the billions each year. The NRA has said it's sensitive to the cost issue, so it plans to offer free training for volunteers.
Who is going to actually assure that these individuals really know what they're doing?
Daniel Webster heads the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun and Policy Research. He says volunteer armed guards could add to schools' liability insurance premiums because of the risk of accidents. In Boston, I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up 0.3% in Hong Kong, more than a percent right now in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 5 points to close at 14,572.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
There will be an election later this year in New York City to replace Mayor Michael Bloomberg, whose third and final term is coming to a close. Bloomberg is by far the wealthiest politician in the country. He's worth about $27 billion. And the mayor claims that wealth is a political asset because it means he can't be bought. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
In his State of the City speech, Mayor Bloomberg offered up one reason to support his aggressive agenda before his term runs out.
The special interests and campaign donors have never had less power than they've had over the past 11 years. And this year, we're going to show them just how true that is.
There are a lot of things that the mayor has been able to do because of his immense personal wealth.
Doug Muzio is a professor at Baruch College and an expert on New York City politics.
He doesn't need to take campaign contributions. He doesn't owe anybody anything.
That, says Muzio, theoretically lets the mayor pick fights that a conventional politician might avoid. He points to the smoking ban that pit Mayor Bloomberg against bar and restaurant owners, the proposed sugary drink ban that antagonized the beverage industry, his opposition to paid sick days that upset labor. Muzio says from one perspective, the mayor is independent.
Which on one side is a very positive element of the Bloomberg narrative, but the counter narrative says he doesn't have to listen to anybody.
And that makes people mad.
He finds it impossible to feel anybody else's pain.
Scott Levinson is with the Advance Group, a Democratic strategy firm. He says, yes, Bloomberg's riches mean he isn't beholden to any special interest, but one man's special interest is another man's champion.
Special interests are not alien to democracy. It's integral to democracy. Michael Bloomberg seems to miss that point.
Bloomberg has by no means won all the fights he's picked. And Kenneth Mayer, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, points out two of his three victories were by slim margins.
So it's not as if his wealth and ability to spend lots of money has led to absolute landslides.
Will New Yorkers ever have another mayor wealthy enough to ignore special interests or everybody? Well, last month, billionaire John Catsimatidis joined the race, but he's only worth $3 billion. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And finally to Samoa Air, which serves the islands of Samoa in the South Pacific. According to Australian radio, the airline has a new idea to charge passengers based on weight and the weight of their luggage rather than charging per seat. And don't try to lie about your weight if you're going to fly in Samoa. The airline plans to pull people out of the line at random and weigh them. I guess it's probably time to sell stock in the Samoa Airport McDonald's. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.